Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today. It's Loretta Terrazaita. She has a background in media. She took her early experience as a news anchor and a show host and an executive video producer and turned that into experience that works for companies. She has a ton of experience in branding, content marketing strategy, creative communication. And today she is head of corporate marketing at Fizon, and she is the chief executive officer and founder of Loretta Today, where she helps fix marketing and communication messes for B2B companies and gets them AI ready. And I can't wait to hear about this. Loretta, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Thomas. Glad to be here, finally.
Glad to have you. The scheduling of the busy summer. So let's start off with taking a look at the landscape of things and the marketplace and what folks need, what businesses need and why. Let's focus on the pain point first and make sure that we're properly appreciating that.
Yes, we'll probably want to hone in on the B2B aspect of it, as that's where my world is. I don't touch B2C. Too much of a jungle going on in B2C world. So I stick with B2B. But what companies these days in the landscape of AI need to do, they need to stop chasing the shiny thing. And I know this has been the case and with any new technology coming in play, right? It's that fear of missing out, that we have to be on the same bandwagon like everybody else. The whole LinkedIn is filled about AI. Everywhere I turn is all AI, AI. So what companies need to do, they need to pause a little bit and give themselves a little bit of a breather to think where AI actually plays a role in the organizational structure and where it would make sense to implement it, keeping in mind long-term vision of where the company is heading and strategy of what that is supposed to achieve.
Okay, so let's get into that because we're both on LinkedIn. We saw the sort of beginning of the AI craze, the height and the peak of it. I don't know if we're past the peak or after it, perhaps. We just see all kinds of folks posting things and the claims that are being made and the various different ways that people think about it. So unpack a few examples of how people approach AI, how founders and executives may approach AI that can be problematic.
Yeah, a lot of times when business is growing, teams are growing, and the processes and workflows become slightly cumbersome. So what happens in the growth stage or any type of transition stage within the organization, we need to first fix that foundational structure. What I call it is the three P's. It's the people, which is the foundation, the processes, which is the infrastructure of how people operate. And then we deal with the presence, which is what external world sees. And at the core of all of that is communication as the rebar that holds it together. So these three layers is what, when I look at the organization, is what I try to fix. And when you add AI on a broken system, guess what happens? That's this system starts collapsing, or there becomes a lot of disjointness in the operations, because with AI, people or companies, I should say, are not looking at how they should train employees and what they should do with people in the organization to get them AI ready. They just plop AI on top of it and say, now let's do it. And as with any tech, there's a adoption curve, right, that needs to happen. And you have to prepare employees and allocate time for them to be trained on these new AI tools. It's not you took the software, you implemented it, and it works. No. So you have to think about training people. You have to look at your current infrastructure of operations, workflows, approval cycle, processes that exist. Are they broken? Are they not? Because as we know, AI likes structure. It operates on a streamlined structure because that's when you can get the most value and scale. If you put AI on a broken structure and with people who don't know what to do with it, then you don't get the efficiencies that you desire. Now, obviously, if we take and silo a little bit the content marketing, it's slightly different approach, right? Because speed of delivery of content requires slightly different thinking. It's you go in, you put in the prompt, and it spits something out. If you're a smart organization, you don't just copy paste. You have the human eye to look at it, adjust, and use that discernment of human mind to actually assess if whatever that was given works on behalf of the organization.
What do you think of people who say that, oh, it's not perfect, but it works good enough? And here's something that I think about in particular. I think that people are catching up with how AI sounds. So when we first all started playing out around with AI, we're like, oh my God, this thing is brilliant. It can write anything, it can do anything. When you play with it enough, you start detecting certain things and it sounds a certain way. And you might say, okay, I need to help with a blog article or something like this. And then you see it, what it prints out, and you're like, I don't want to sound like that. I know it feels like ChatGPT-ish.
And unfortunately, we are not at the stage where the voice of your organization or you as an entrepreneur or as an executive is fully trained within AI, right? Because when we think about AI and LLMs, there's this foundational training that it comes from to begin with, right? We are adding our own thoughts and things into it. But the majority of ideas are being pulled from that training pool that existed in the OpenAI and Perplexity, wherever, whatever tools you use. And yes, some tools are better than the others, one might argue, but to your point, it still all sounds the same. I'm actually guilty of that. I sometimes, when I don't have time and I know I have to upload videos onto YouTube, I just send them to my VA and I say, you know, my story, my articles, just use ChatGPT to create something. I have no time to go back and distill it myself, but I'm thinking, okay, it's a YouTube. They will still hear my voice. If they click on it, they will still hear me express things. Where it starts breaking is the title and let's say the description, right? Where it starts sounding a little bit AI-ish. So I'm guilty of that. Everybody is. It's all about time constraint. But at the same time, it also solves a lot of efficiency problems if we purely isolate into content right now, because it devalues what I said before. You can't use AI on the broken infrastructure, but if we isolate it within the context of content, it helps with efficiency in a sense that at least it gives you something to start with. And then if you know your voice, if you know how you sound, you're very in tune and what you need to change. But you have to make the effort to change. You can't just take it and publish. And a lot of companies do that. And it's on the sort of almost, it has to become one of the brand policing initiatives inside the organization to discourage content writers to rely too much on AI, because it anywhere you look, we recognize the patterns. People who are in tune with language, with words, they pick up on that very easily. And then you start losing authority, you start losing trust, because what value does that add if ChatGPT responded on your behalf or wrote an article on your behalf? What are your thoughts then? What are you thinking? I don't want to know what ChatGPT is thinking, because I can go and ask the same question and get the answer. I want to know what you're thinking as a thought leader in the industry.
Yeah, one of the things I think about related to that, Loretta, is that sometimes when a technology comes along, excuse me, and changes the way we work, the difficulty shifts and should shift from one part to another. For example, it might have been the case that before, oh, I've got to write a blog and I've got to write all these pages. And then the challenge back then is pump out lots of pages for the SEO or something like that. But then now that the AIs can do that, maybe the challenge shifts and it's okay, lots of people are pumping out lots of BS words. Maybe I should focus on saying something more interesting or something more unique.
Exactly. And we're not going to go even into this SEO strategy that where AI plays a role as well, right? Auto-generated. Now we're losing traffic to the website because of how people find the searches and find the answers in the searches. But yes, to your point, humanness will prevail, in my opinion. That's where the most value will continue being added. Because if we look at the digital landscape, AI is probably one of the most prolific. I'll say it in Lithuanian.
So
The most proliferated tool one could adopt at the pace that it's been adopted, right? Of course, when you have this ease of adoption, you latch onto it and you feel like, oh my God, I just saved my hours of time in producing content or doing something with it, right? When I was back in 2016, 2016, 15, 17, around that time, when we were talking about VR and AR, virtual reality, augmented reality, You know, I was very embedded back in Silicon Valley into these types of technologies and working with founders and interviewing them. And one of the key challenges back then was adoption rate, because in order to adopt VR, you have to have somebody use the gear, the goggles, whatever things, you know, or the glasses, something that you have to have a gadget to go on your face to be embedded in that virtual or augmented reality world. Now, if we look at AI, completely different story. It's within the fingertips of your reach, right? You just go to ChatGPT, you go to Perplexity, you go to Claude, and you get what you want. You'd use MindJourney to create your images out of this world. So it's within your reach, and that's why it's been adopted so quickly. So we have to think, where does human step into this process, you know, of content creation? Because we don't want to start devaluing our own creativity. And it's been studies, you probably read them from MIT, assessing how our brains are actually deteriorating from the use of AI. And I think they tested students or something. I don't remember exact data, but you can look it up, MIT research or something. It was recently published that the brains are getting duller because you rely on AI, right? So you don't think yourself. You have AI think on behalf of you. And then if you put in more effort, maybe you'll do some adjustments, you know, what it gives you.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a bunch of interesting studies. One of them, I don't know if it was Harvard Business, there's some study that tested groups of people coming up with business insights or innovations. And I think the upshot of it was what it found was you want to think first and then have the AI help you. Now, if it's something that doesn't matter that much and you're like, oh, I need just a packing list because I'm traveling to, and you just need something, maybe that's the stakes aren't so high. But if you're trying to really generate core, real insights, fresh ideas, going first to the AI can be problematic. I find useful for myself when I'm doing certain types of creative work. I try to start like, okay, what will my human brain come up with first? What do I think? And then go to the AI to try to refine things.
And there's also good use cases of AI where it doesn't require human brain, but let's say data that already exists that you don't have time to digest, analyze it yourself. You can use the tools that will help you extrapolate the important pieces or action items from that data for you. Back then, it was called machine learning in the organizations. There were even roles inside the organizations of machine learning experts who would take organizational data and run it through sort of code parameters to extrapolate what's needed from a business planning perspective. So now, again, these tools are the tips of our fingers, and we can all get the benefits of getting access to analysis this way. But yes, that analysis, that information needs to be yours, needs to be residing somewhere in your brain or in your computer.
For many decades, or for a couple of decades, the internet was dominated by SEO and the need to optimize the ability for people to find your company in searches. Now you have AIO, some folks call it. I think there's two different names that people use for it. Do you have any opinions on that, optimizing yourself for AI to appear in LLMs and things like that?
I am not an expert in SEO, so I will not give
Gotcha.
any tips. But what I know we need to start doing, or the organizations need to start doing, they need to start building that approach, because that's what's going to kill the traffic to the website. I find it myself, even if I'm looking for the answer on any search platforms, I don't even click to the website. I look what it's generated as an AI from all the sources of information. And if, let's say, it's being quoted and I'm interested in that particular thought, then I look on the sidebar. I'm like, okay, where did it come from? Then I go and dig a little bit deeper. But a lot of times, it's enough for people to just get the gist of it. They get an idea and they move on, right, to whatever additional resources or sources, researchers, sorry, that they want to do. So I can't say what companies need to do specifically, but there's tactics that any new, or how to say, any SEO expert who wants to stay innovative should start learning and providing to organizations what to do. Creating knowledge base, creating, there's terminologies of different things that I can't even remember right now when it comes to what how the website needs to be structured for AI searchability specifically. There's tactics that SEO experts are doing right now.
Now, when you engage with companies, what kind of companies are they? Are they small companies with founders trying to build something new? Are they the big companies that are trying to get their stuff together?
Yeah, my sweet spot is companies that are going through transition, be it growth or some type of acquisition or something where they need to change and pivot or implement new structures and tools so that they can continue scaling and not stall in that growth or transition moment. So that's my sweet spot because I like cleaning up the mess. Yeah, I like cleaning up the house. So you give me the mess and I'll put some order into it. And usually it's B2B environment. Like I said earlier, I do not touch B2C. And ideally it's a tech company, but it can, what the problems that I solve as a chief of staff and CMO can go across industry.
So would an example be something like a pivot that, or a rebrand, or just a scale up?
It's just a scale up most of the time. When it comes to rebranding, that's very specific brand journey. So normally as a that's where my CMO angle comes in. Then I work with branding agencies to help and implement that brand journey to wherever it needs to be. But I look at the organization from the structure perspective, be it on a department level or organizational level, because I see things that are broken and links that are broken when it comes to communication, how information is flowing. Are the teams, do the teams have the right people in the right places to actually achieve the results that the business needs? Do we need to hire people? How do cross departments working together? Let's say if I'm running the, if I'm managing the marketing communications function, how does IT need to keep up with that? What kind of innovative way of thinking or digital transformation tools they need to adopt to support marketing function properly? So I look more at the structure and I work alongside C-suite in advising what they need to do to implement certain structural changes, like I said, on a department level or cross department level.
Awesome. And then, so how do you engage? Do you, when you first do your discovery period, do you analyze what the mess is and say, okay, these are the key areas and opportunities. Here's what it'll take to attack these, and then focus on kind of the various different aspects of the marketing touch points?
Correct. So I look from the three P's perspective: people, process, and presence. So I have an initial sort of engagement process is self-assessment. So companies or whoever want to bring me on board, leaders, they have to do self-assessment where they think they have gaps. So they take this elaborate, very thorough people, process, presence assessment. And that gives me an indication where they stand, where the gaps are, because whatever they don't click, that means there's a gap that we need to fix. And then the presence assessment is staged. So this is a, I call it a full foundational audit. So there's four steps into it. So that full foundational audit, I look at the organization at large, where it's at, what it's doing, you know, how many departments are fully fleshed out, how big it is, how they're communicating with each other. So I call it DNA, the status of the company right now. Then I move into each people, process, and presence. So for the presence, a lot of what I look at is digital landscape, how the company or their leaders represent themselves outside of the world, in the outside world. And is the message consistent? Is the branding consistent? Do they have any PR strategies? Are they being invited to events? Are they being authored in bylines? Are they being interviewed? How does brand show up at large cumulatively? That's what I look at. Then I go a little bit deeper into talking and having conversations with executive leadership team about the processes and people, because that you cannot assess with tools. Oh, I have to have conversations. I have to understand what the mindset is, what's broken in their opinion, what do we need to prioritize in fixing? And then once we assess these four things, I can have a better idea of what we need to fix. And I align that specifically with the business goals. I can't work in a vacuum. So where does the business want to be in the 6 months, in a year, or in 5 years? And what is important to fix right now that will affect that path towards success later on?
So really the perfect folks, the match made in heaven for you is the company that has some success and they're trying to increase their traction in the marketplace and they're shifting and going through the growing pains and they know they need to become
Correct.
a different type of
Correct.
organization.
They exactly need to be more organized, basically.
And
Because
usually start off with a mess because you're wearing all these hats, this wild startup.
yes. And when company scales, or even when it's trying to transform itself from where it is right now to where they want to be, they just think about, oh, we just need to generate revenue. We just need to generate revenue. But what does it mean? What does it mean when it comes to people? What kind of people do we need to have inside the organization? Are we under hired or over hired? Do we need to distill? Do we need to hire more to achieve that scale? What kind of workflows do we have in place? Do we have project management tools? Do we have auto publishing tools? Do we have the right infrastructure inside the organization from IT perspective or web perspective to actually implement these automated processes to get the information out there at a faster pace? And all of that affects how the presence shows up. So if you don't have streamlined and an organized way of operating inside the organization, that presence will be broken and customers will see that and your competitors will see that.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Loretta Terrazaita, CEO of Loretta Today. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
I hang out on LinkedIn. So if you reference this webinar, this is not webinar, this is podcast, you can reach out to me and I will accept the invitation. I post the content there at least once per week. You can get a lot of other information and tips from me there. And yeah, that would probably be the best way to connect with me.
Awesome. Everyone, check her out on LinkedIn. Loretta, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Thomas, for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.